God made the animals. Are you familiar with the days of creation? Do you know what God made on each day? Do you remember what He made on day 5 of creation? If you studied Zoology 1 and 2 in this series, you explored all the animals God created on the 5th day. In this book, you're going to discover the animals God made on the 6th day. Let's find out exactly what the Bible says God created on the 6th day. Genesis 1, 24 and 25 says, "And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good." Let's read the sentence in bold again. It separates the creatures God created into 3 groups: wild animals, livestock, and the creatures that move along the ground. Since that's how the Bible describes the animals God made on the 6th day, that's the order in which we'll study them. Did you notice that God separates the wild animals from the livestock? Do you know what livestock are? Livestock are animals that we own, care for, and use for food or to help us with our chores. Can you think of examples of livestock? I can think of many. Horses, donkeys, oxen, sheep, cattle, and pigs. Isn't it interesting to think that God actually created animals to help us? Horses and donkeys help us by carrying us or our things from place to place. They can also help us by pulling plows as we plant crops. Oxen are used for that as well, and sheep give us wool for clothing. Cattle are eaten and milked. Pigs are also eaten. In some countries, camels help people with their work and carry them from place to place, so we'll study camels when we study livestock. Can you think of one thing these animals have in common? They all have hooves. Animals with hooves are called ungulates. In the livestock section, we'll study every ungulate, even though some of them, like zebras and gazelles, are not really livestock. Of course, we'll also study animals that aren't livestock. The Bible calls them wild animals, or creatures that move along the ground. What do you think of when someone says, wild animals? I immediately imagine lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! These animals, of course, are not usually kept for us to eat or help us work. Most of them don't make good pets either. When my brother was in college, he was given an ocelot as a pet. How cute that ocelot kitten was. It played and scampered about, climbing up the furniture and attacking toy mice just like any young house cat. As it grew, however, its playful bite became more powerful, and its claws grew longer and sharper. One night, as my brother was sleeping, the ocelot saw his feet hanging off the edge of the bed, twitching. After a few minutes of crouching on the floor, the ocelot leapt up and grabbed my brother's feet with both claws, hanging on for dear life. My brother was hurt so badly he had to go to the hospital. Although it made him sad, he had to find a new home for his ocelot. Most wild animals are not meant to be pets. However, some have been bred to become pets over the years. Can you think of any? Dogs and cats come to mind. Since dogs and cats are pets that came from wild animals, we'll include them in our wild animal section. Do you know what I mean when I say that an animal comes from another animal? Well, if you look back at the Bible verse we read a little while ago, you'll see that God said that all the animals reproduce after their own kind. The word kind is very important. You see, there are many different species of animals, but not nearly as many kinds of animals. For example, there are calico cats and Siamese cats that live in people's homes, and there are also lions and tigers that roam the wilds of Africa. Even though they are very different from one another, creation scientists can show that most likely they all came from a pair of cats that walked off the ark after the worldwide flood. In other words, God created each kind of animal, and He created them with the ability to adapt and change over time. So after the two cats walked off the ark and began to reproduce, their young were similar to, but not exactly the same as they were. As time went on, the differences between the young and their parents continued to pile up until there were many different species of cats, from the cute little Siamese to the dangerous lion. Some people argue that the story of the worldwide flood can't be true because all the different animals of the world could not fit on the ark. However, Noah took only two of each kind of animal onto the ark. He didn't have to take two of each of the different species of cat, for example. He just had to take two from the cat kind, and they would eventually be the great-great-great-great-great-grandparents of all the different species of cats we see today. So Noah just had to take two of each kind of creature, and there was plenty of room on the ark for them. You'll learn more about this as you work through this course. When the Bible mentions creatures that creep, it is most likely talking about reptiles, such as snakes and lizards, amphibians, such as frogs and salamanders, arthropods, such as spiders and scorpions, and all the worm-like creatures that move along and under the ground. As I mentioned, you'll study the wild animals first, livestock second, and then all the creeping creatures third. Since dinosaurs were probably reptiles, we'll place them into the creeping section, though most of them did not creep. Many tromped slowly along or scurried about on two legs. Since you have most likely studied Zoology 1 and Zoology 2, you already know a lot about animals. You know about animal classification, nocturnal and diurnal animals, herbivores, carnivores, habitats, endangered species, arthropods, annelids, parasites, and many other things. So I won't repeat the information you already know, except to occasionally remind you of things you may have forgotten. At the end of this lesson, you'll do a fun activity that will teach you a little bit more about camouflage, which is something else you learned about in the first two zoology books. This experiment will encourage you to think about how camouflage helps some animals survive, sometimes at the expense of others that do not. This is called natural selection, which is something we've not talked about in the other books. However, it will come up quite a bit in this book, so it'll be important for you to do an experiment that helps you understand the concept.